Welcome into the inaugural version of Heard Here First. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp with you. Yeah, we're trying something a little bit new this year as the Bulls get ready for their season opener against Bethune-Cookman. Welcome aboard, Derek. Good to talk to you again. We've only been apart for the last 35 weekends, so we get to do this again.
Man, I'm a little disappointed already. I thought you were going to give me the hours and the minutes that we've been apart, but there's always time for that. Just subtract 60 when we go live on the air on Saturday. The whole thing that we figured, I mean, when I say we, it wasn't my idea because I don't want to take credit for it. It's too genius of a concept. But Brian Segrist, who, of course, is the head of all the communications with athletics at USF, and he's really taken over with football, figured, and I agree, by the way, you know, not everybody can listen 2 hours before kickoff. And you know it, Jim. We freaking have great stuff in that first hour, and it would be a shame for anybody not to be able to hear it. So that's part of it. The second part, obviously, is now it's convenient for everybody to check out the first hour. This is the first hour of the pregame. It's not just us, you know, lollygagging around. We're going to have all of the coordinator interviews that usually you hear in that first hour. Now they're going to be moved here, so you can get Todd Orlando. He's great. Joel Gordon, you're going to hear every week. Joey Johnston with the player. He'll talk to Derek Bowman, offensive lineman, this week. And we'll do some other USF news. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I think people that don't know are going to know pretty soon that, hey, Thursday night, anytime Friday, get up Saturday morning, first thing, listen to Heard Here First. Hence the title. And just in case you didn't know, H-E-R-D.
Right. Keeping with the Bull theme. You know, we have still good insight, obviously. We're going to deliver all of the matchups. We're going to deliver the breakdown for South Florida and Bethune-Cookman. And, Derek, I was kind of surprised that the Bulls in now this 28th season have never played Bethune-Cookman. My first thought was, oh, I'm going to look to see what the all-time record is. Holy cow, they've never played Bethune-Cookman. I was kind of surprised. A lot of games against Florida A&M, a lot of games against teams in the state, but nothing against Bethune-Cookman.
It seems like it because we played them in most sports. I mean, baseball every year, softball a lot of years, basketball. Now, I had forgotten a lot about 2020. But this was originally supposed to be in that season at the beginning, and that had to get switched out when basically the entire conference that Bethune-Cookman was in, they weren't playing football in 2020.
Yeah, well, everyone's so used to them being in the MEAC for so many years. Now they play in the SWAC, but of course they still have the great classic against Florida A&M. This Bethune-Cookman team, we'll talk about them in depth a little bit later on. Not coming off a great year. There's a new head coach, second-year head coach, Raymond Woody. A lot of people familiar with that name. He was a defensive coordinator for South Florida, of course, on the staff with Willie Taggart. But everybody wants to talk about South Florida and talk about the Bulls. The enthusiasm, Derek, going into this school year as a whole, I think, is at an all-time high. Football season, coming off a 7-win year a year ago, a bowl win, a second-best turnaround in the country. Then men's basketball was so good. Women's basketball doing what they always do. I just think the electricity around campus is higher than I can remember in a long, long time. And really, it starts with this football team. Because if this team gets off to a good start this year and has a great year, I think the whole school year will trail right behind it.
And I'm one of those folks that, you know, I get into every single sport there is and I get excited about whoever's playing. But I fully realize who the driver is, and it is football by far. And then men's basketball is not that far behind. And the little streak we're on right now, and those two guys, by the way, Golish and Abdurrahim, they're buds. I mean, Amir can go onto the football field whenever he wants, and they really admire what they've done. So I love that connection. If the success part of it continues, then, yeah, we're in for another fun year.
7-6 a year ago, Derek, so many great highlights over the course of that season. We're going to hear a montage of those highlights as well. I think the first real test, of course, was Alabama. Of course, the Bulls opened on the road against Western Kentucky, but came home and played against Florida A&M, beat them up, and then played Alabama. No one really knew what to expect. After 60 minutes of football against Alabama, I know it was a 17-3 loss, but they led at the half. They were right there, 7 points down late in the game with multiple opportunities to tie that game late. I just felt when we left Raymond James Stadium that day, this team is legit. They're going to win a lot of games. And Alex Golish, as a first-year head coach, is for real.
It was the tone setter, and it is where we'll start off our medley. As you mentioned, some thrilling moments from a loss and then plenty of victories leading up to getting bowl eligible and then taking that in dominant fashion. Here's, again, this is when we'll usually do highlights from the week before, but the year before in this case. And then Jim Lighthall and myself will return for a full hour of Heard Here First.
Here comes Wright. He runs over a defensive back and gets the first down. Naquan Wright, an absolute freight train.
My goodness.
It's a run trying to get the left side and nothing there. The Bulls, led by Amaris Brown, make the tackle right near the line of scrimmage on Rydell Williams. Simpson to throw. Pressure coming, getting Happy Feet, and he's sacked. Jalen Stokes.
USF has been killing Alabama by blitzing defensive backs.
Good pressure, throws it long. Looking for Simmons. He's got it at the 50, and he's down to the Rice 35-yard line. Throws it long. He's got Simmons. That's a 51-yard play. Brown hitting his man wide open. It's Naeem Simmons, and he will score. Brown to Simmons again. Good protection, throws it long, he wants Simmons, he's got it. Simmons is down to the 10-yard line. That's a new South Florida record. Most yards receiving in a single game. Has time, steps into it, fires, it's Atkins. He makes the catch, and there is nobody in front of Sean Atkins. How about 88 yards for a score? High snap, it's fumbled, picked up by South Florida. Jalen Schuler, and he's going to take it all the way for a South Florida score. 2 points, it's 23-20. Third down and 8. Brown to throw, pressure coming toward the end zone. Michael Brown Stevens, caught, touchdown South Florida. Bulls reclaim the lead on a 15-yard pass play. Tight formation for Navy, no wide receivers. It's a snake, it's a fumble. Ball is lying on the ground, and it's picked up by Tremell Logan, and he is gone. Touchdown South Florida. Brown will pitch to right. He's got the edge, he's got the touchdown, and the Bulls have got the lead. South Florida goes ahead with 4:02 to go. 90-yard touchdown drive in 10 plays. Roberson, he will throw. Steps up, now gonna run. Makes a move, ball comes out. Ball came out at the end of the play, and South Florida has the football as they come from behind in the fourth quarter to beat UConn. Throw long near sideline, picked again. Amaris Brown Bunkley, almost a replay of his first.
And I'm telling you, Jim, those have been some of the most athletic catches that I've seen a defensive back make, not just on the college level this season, since I've been a part of the game.
Temple had lost 5 in a row until winning last week. This one picked off at the line of scrimmage. It's Tremell Logan, and he's going to take it in for a score. Touchdown, South Florida. Tremell Logan showing great hands. 8th catch of the game for Atkins, and Sean Atkins has eclipsed the single-season yardage record held by Marquez Valdez-Scantling from the Charlotte 10-yard line. Remember we said they've got nothing to lose? They might be going for it from their 10. And Ivy's going to throw downfield, and it is caught, but was he in bounds? No. And Brown to throw into the end zone. Touchdown, South Florida. Sean Atkins chasing 1,000. Here's Brown flaring it out to Atkins. He's going to throw it. He's got Joyner, and Joyner is going to score. 62 yards. Sean Atkins put it right on a dime to Joyner. And that should be the final play of the 2023 regular season. The South Florida Bulls, they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2018. Very clear as we look across the stands. That's a lot of green out there.
I noticed that here just a moment ago myself, Jim, and this is a great way to include the fans after having the second best turnaround season in college football this year and the best turnaround season in USF history.
They fumble the snap. It's taken by the Bulls, and South Florida is going to bring it back all the way. Amaris Brown Bunkley. Touchdown, South Florida.
Jim, I'm telling you what, I got chills bumps.
From the 31-yard line, Brown loading it up again. Shot at the end zone. Chaffrey Brown, yes, sir. Touchdown, South Florida. Brown's 25th of the year, tying a South Florida record.
Byron Brown ain't playing today.
Looks like Syracuse is going to commit to Braden Davis the rest of this game. He's gotten all the snaps on this drive. He will throw again. Pressure coming. Hit from behind. Fumbles. Picked up by the Bulls. This is going to be six. The Bulls are going to score in the final seconds of the second quarter. Six more for South Florida. It's 30 to nothing.
All right, Derek, to your point, it's 250 days, which is 6,000 hours since the last time the Bulls played, which was December 21st in that Boca win, a shutout against Syracuse, 45 to nothing. Yeah, we're just getting started with this first hour of the pregame show. He's Derek Sharp. I'm Jim Lighthall. We'll be talking offense next. You're listening to Herd Here First.
Once again, Tampa General is named the number one hospital in Tampa Bay and one of the nation's best. This year, in cancer care, diabetes and endocrinology, ear, nose, and throat, gastroenterology and GI surgery, heart and vascular care, obstetrics and gynecology, orthopedic surgery, and urology. Tampa General. Other hospitals practice medicine. We define it.
Welcome back to the pregame show. Herd Here First is the new name. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp back with you. Bulls fans, the 2024 Seats for Service ticket packages on sale right now. For as low as $125, you can sponsor United States service members to attend the November 9th Salute to Service game versus Navy at Raymond James Stadium. Included in that package, four tickets for you, a USA Bulls car flag, and you get to provide an experience for our service men and women to come see your Bulls take on Navy. For more information about our 2024 Seats for Service package, call 1-800-GO-BULLS and ask about Seats for Service. The Bulls and Bethune-Cookman, Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp with you. We will have a third member in Herd Here First, Joey Johnston, who patrols the sidelines, gives us all kinds of stuff a little bit later on in the hour coming up. Right, Derek?
Absolutely. And we are going to – this was his idea. He wanted to have a segment which, for lack of a better term, was something to the effect of, you know, football expert. So we're just going to go with inside scoop or inside knowledge with Joey Johnston. In all seriousness, he gets more inside knowledge than anybody, any member of the media that covers the Bulls. There's no doubt about it, not just from his sideline work, but he is there. While you're listening to this Herd Here First hour, he is going to have written 50 articles in that time span. He's amazing. And this week's article on GoUSFBulls.com, among many, the featured one, is all about Alex Golish. Even more stuff that you guys didn't know, and we're going to get into that in our next segment. We'll also have him with the player each week. We hinted at it earlier, so it's going to be Derek Bowman as well. In between all that, you're going to hear some of the best sound bites from the week, which is, again, going to go back a little bit more than we usually do. Wait till you hear what LD, LaDainian Washington, had to say about Golish. I mean, I've got a load of great audio. It's going to be hard to fit it all in to an hour, but we're going to do it, and we're looking forward to it, along with talking to both coordinators.
Sure. Joel Gordon coming up in just a minute. So let's talk offense. I mean, this is a prolific offense, Derek. They led the nation in plays per game last year, 82.1, which is almost two plays more than North Texas, who finished second. We kind of knew coming in when Alex Golish got here from Tennessee it was going to be a high-octane offense. But, man, I love the balance that they have running and throwing. But Byron Brown makes it go, but he's got a ton of weapons on offense.
I'm telling you, and you're going to hear Joel speak about one new receiver in particular, a transfer from Purdue. But yeah, it's almost one of those things where last year, all that Sean Atkins did, we were thinking, oh, that's it for him. It just felt like, you know, all these career numbers. Well, he's going to smash all of the career numbers officially because he's back. What a bonus that is. Naquan Wright, who, by the way, if you're a fan of the show or listener of the show, Bulls Beat, listen to my chat with him on Friday morning. Very humble, but you could tell he is ready to roll. I mean, he was critical of his performance last year, and he ran for nearly 900 yards in an offense with all these, you know, passing numbers. So it's the standard has been raised, and it's incredible.
12 passing records for Byron Brown last year, including most yards in a season, most touchdowns. The thing about Sean Atkins that I really like that Alex Golish said this week, Derek, I thought this is great. This is a quote. Sean Atkins knows right now he's the best receiver in this conference. The guy's coming off a 92-catch year, over 1,000 yards, and he's got more in the tank. So this is going to be a lot of fun, but it all starts up front as well. They got to have the big guys, and they have a lot of experience up there because of the injuries last season. these guys have games under the belt.
And a guy that knows a little bit about all of that is one you're going to hear right now, the offensive coordinator, Joel Gordon. All right, first heard here, first chat with Joel Gordon. This will be our only question about the offseason. Did you get to enjoy much of one at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's got the different cycles of the offseason, you know, starting January and getting into the spring ball and into the summer. But it was, me personally, had a great offseason. Our football team, 100%. We worked really hard, and we're still working at it. But it's been very beneficial for us.
It seems like a lot of seasons, a lot of sports, a lot is mentioned about the conditioning off-season work, but it sounds like it was really taken up a level. Can you visually see that when you report and see the guys in shape?
Absolutely. You know, we're here with those guys, you know, throughout the summer, so you see what they're going through and you see the work that they're putting in. And, you know, starting fall camp, being able to see that guys, you know, it's not quite football throughout the summer, and you see that the football shape and the conditioning and what happens, you know, for spurts of 4 or 5 seconds, you know, within a play is a little bit different. But, you know, I think our strength and conditioning staff did a great job, you know, with our team. And we definitely feel like where we needed to close some gaps and make some improvements, man, we feel like we dialed in on some things and definitely got that done.
Every player I've spoken to about it always mentions the staff, and that's cool. They realize the work that goes into it. But I got to ask you, before we get into the players and the game, you are the offensive coordinator. How many members are there of your offensive staff between actual coaches and GAs that help you out and quality assistants and all that kind of stuff? I mean, the staff has grown all over sports, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you take how we've got it set up here, you know, if you take every position coach, which would be one for quarterbacks, one for running backs, one for wide receivers, tight ends, and O-line. And then you add another assistant for all those guys, that, you know, pretty much doubles. So that's it. We've got, we're fortunate that we've got some really good young coaches that, you know, honestly spend a lot of time with our players when the full-time guys aren't able to. So, you know, we've got some guys that have been now in this system and really comfortable in being able to teach, you know, to the young guys, to the players, and it's been huge for us.
Everyone's waiting for a question about the quarterback. We'll get there. Be patient. But I want to ask you about the offensive line, because when you got here last year, there were only a couple of holdovers, and now it seems like even though you lost Dono and some guys, it's a pretty steady position. Could you speak about how that has changed in the last season?
Yeah, I think, number one, they – and – where we started to where we finished the year to where we are right now, I think just the standard that those guys understand what this offense is supposed to look like, number one, and it all starts with them. And two, like, it all starts with them. So we're going to go as they go, and I think the leadership from when we got here to now has – grown tremendously, not just in one person. You know, it's that room collectively has grown up, you know, mentally, physically, they've gotten stronger, and they've just grown. Now we've got to keep pushing them, and they have to keep improving their technique and keep improving their play, just like everybody. But in terms of growing, man, they've definitely grown, and we have a long way to go still. So, you know, we're gonna go up against another team for the first time here in a couple days, and that'll be the real, you know, first test that they're out there by themselves going against somebody new, without the coaches back there, you know, coaching them up in between the plays. So I'm excited about that group. I really am. I think we've created more depth than what we had. And we make sure we keep these guys healthy and go from there.
Two more for Coach Joel Gordon. We've seen, everybody knows what to see and expect with Sean and Naeem and a little bit of Michael Brown Stevens, but Abdul Rahman Yassin, I've seen he's listed as one of the starting wideouts. Tell people what he can bring to the squad.
Yeah, I think he brings, number one, experience. You know, he's played in college football games before, which is huge, you know, at that position for us. He's been on big stages and, you know, competed and executed and made plays, you know, at the highest levels in college football. So he brings with him a little bit of a quiet maturity you know, there's just a presence about him that you can feel that, you know, he's going to be ready to make plays, you know, when the ball comes his way. But he's, you know, he's a strong runner. He's strong with the ball in his hand. He's strong at the catch point. And, you know, he's definitely added value to that room. And it's going to be his first time playing in this offense. He didn't get here until the spring. And that's still a transition, you know, going from another program to this program and getting to the point where you feel really comfortable, still maturing in that process. So we're excited about him for sure and ready to see what it looks like out here.
And last thing, number 17, you know, this has been, it's been a while since we've known without any question who the starting quarterback was going to be, even though he had to put in the work. So you might think, oh, this is a guy that's going to maybe be full of himself a little bit, but he doesn't take anything for granted. I know that he's still, he's one of the earliest to show up here. Speak about the work that he's put in.
Yeah, he enjoys the work and he's very consistent. So that's man, for me to say it and sound like that's kind of casual or that's an easy thing to do, it is 100% not an easy thing to do. To be the same guy every single day, like not only on the field, off the field, with your habits. His work ethic since we got here has been, man, relentless. He's worked really hard to try to improve at his craft. He wants to be a really good quarterback. So that's a quality that, man, not every single person has that ingrained in him, and we're very, very happy that he does. And he works hard, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to get better one day at a time. So, you know, Byram's been as consistent as he ever has.
Well, we're happy to have you back, too. Thanks a lot, Coach Gordon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's offensive coordinator Joel Gordon with Derek Sharp. When we come back, Joey Johnston joins the pregame show with some inside knowledge. You're listening to Herd Here First.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever?
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Back on Herd Here First, and a lot of things that you can see first is Joey Johnston's work on GoUSFBulls.com. So we're going to go with some inside knowledge here on this segment, even more inside than what you might have already seen. And this week it's going to be pretty easy. Joey, I want to talk a lot about your sit down with Coach Golish, which is going to be substantially longer than our sit down for this conversation. We'll get into that in a moment. First, tell people, you get to see some stuff that most quote-unquote regular members of the media don't get to see. It's pretty cool the access you've been granted here.
Yeah, I can move around pretty freely, which is great, around practice, around the building, and get to see a different side of people. And I think what you do when you get that kind of access is you learn things over time. It's not something you react to at the moment, but sort of might be something I heard last year that sparked something that might be a story this year. So, you know, that access is great, getting to know the people at that level.
And that's why we're having you on this segment in particular. And, of course, once we get to towards the kickoff, you're going to be on the field with all the on-the-sideline stuff. Now that I think about it, I want to ask you about that. I'm guessing night games are your favorite.
I like night games. I love being under the lights. I mean, obviously, your sideline reporter, the weather is number one. You know, I've had severe heat. I've had, you know, lots of cold. That 21-degree night in Tulsa a few years ago was memorable. So you have that, but I think what you see is you have the view of just how crazy it can be on a football sideline, getting people in and out of a game, the coaches reacting, the emotions. It's really quite fascinating. This game is fascinating, but when you see it that level where you can reach out and touch somebody, it's really fascinating to see the emotions of it all.
And because of that, you get to see what Coach Golish was like right from the get-go. Anything jump out at you? I mean, we watching stuff on TV, listening to it on the radio, know what we're talking about. Those guys really know what they're talking about, and you get to get closer than a lot of people.
Yeah, he's on the sidelines. He's just wrapped up as you can possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. He shows some emotion when maybe things don't go right, but for the most part, he is completely locked in and on all about the next play. and making sure his team runs efficiently. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing. He can be fiery at times, but for the most part is sort of like the guy in the laboratory, you know, cooking up a new invention. And it's fascinating to watch because that those wheels are spinning inside that head, let me tell you.
All right, so you got an even longer sort of look inside that head. And one thing that jumped out at me is actually what you started off the article with. Heck, we could just go and read the article here, but we'll get the highlights, of which there are many. First of all is he took some time, a little time, with his family and for himself in a longer standpoint of dropping some weight, stuff that he maybe hadn't had time to think about but needed to do.
Yeah, well, the way I started it, I was just interested. You know, in June, he turned 40. And that can be a difficult birthday for some guys. When you turn 40, Derek, you'll know.
Yeah, thanks. I remember it, actually. It was a long time ago. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I just, you know, kind of, what was your 40th birthday like? And that sort of led to him saying, hey, I'm starting to see some gray hairs in my head and my beard. And am I on the back end of this now? When you reach a certain age and you come to the realization that maybe I've got more years in than I have left, that can be a sobering thought. And I think he had that thought for the first time this offseason. And he wanted to take care of himself. He dropped 25 pounds by walking, walking regimen and eating a lot better.
Yeah.
He is doing the intermittent fasting till lunch. And then he has the luxury of a nice nutrition program here that he can plug into with his lunch and dinner. He does not completely avoid snacks. He does that occasionally. So as he puts it, he's very cautious. He doesn't eat everything he can get his hands on, but he's a lot more sensible. But anyway, he's dropped 25 pounds, and that's a good thing for anybody at any age. So, the upshot of that is he says he is as healthy and as happy as he's ever been in his whole life, which I found interesting. He loves it here. His family loves it here. He's a man that's very content with where he is in his life. Very driven, though. Don't get that mistaken. He's very driven and very intense, but he likes being at USF, and he likes what could be ahead for this program.
By the way, for the record, Bar Louie, surprise birthday party thrown by my wife, and all my friends showed up, and I still remember that, but it's been a few years. One thing that you mentioned as well is how he just has everything timed practically to the second. How impressed are you by his level of organization?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, I went over it a few times to make sure that that's what he was saying, but yes, every minute of his week is accounted for, which, you know, and I guess you can buy some time here and there, you know, if you go long in a certain thing. I mean, sort of practices run long sometimes, but this is a man that leaves nothing to chance. Sort of like, you know, you hear about the news anchors that have their wardrobe planned for the whole year. That's Alex Golish. He's got everything planned. He knows what he's doing on September 17th at 2 p.m. He actually does know what he's doing that day.
Wow. Very Jim Lauk of him.
Very Jim Lauk, yes. But he, you know, he is, again, and I understand this because I feel this way too in a lot of areas of my life. Your confidence is a product of your preparation. Mm. When you prepare properly, whether it's for a test, whether it's for a social occasion, a speech, you're naturally going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel more confident. And I think that's, you know, when he gets on the practice field and the game field, Alex Golish has prepared for that moment. So he's never nervous about a game. He is prepared. The week leading up, he may be some nerves, but when he's on the game field, he is not nervous ever.
And then, you know, one thing that he has not been asked about, and you didn't in this article, there's time for other stories, that I'm curious, at least maybe, have you gotten a sense of how many wins they expect to have this year? How much do they expect this year? I know what the ceiling is, and that is playoff. That's obvious. No one's going to say, hey, coach, you're going to the playoffs this year, but do you get that sense that they think they can get there pretty quick?
You know what? I think what they think is the preparation will lead to the best outcome. I don't think they quantify it as such. Certainly, number one goal here for Alex Golish has been to win the conference, which has never been done here before. So you've got to get that done. It stands to reason this year, if USF can win its conference, it does have a good chance of getting into the playoffs. So I think one leads to the other. But I think when he says we concentrate on our process, and if we have our process right, the outcome will take care of itself. I think he truly believes that, and I understand what he is saying. People might not relate to that, but he's kind of at a higher level than most of us are in terms of his thinking and his preparation. So it's the process, and if the process is right, the winning will come. So he feels good about the process, so I think they feel good about what can happen this year.
Hey, I really feel good about this segment. Thanks a lot, Joey. So whatever you put up on GoUSFBulls.com, make sure you guys check it out, and we'll dig deeper in our inside knowledge segment. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Derek and Joey for breaking it down there. South Florida and Bethune-Cookman coming up a little bit later on as the pregame show continues. Heard here first. When we come back, Derek will rejoin me. We'll talk about the opponent for Saturday's game, Bethune-Cookman. That's next on Heard Here First.
A successful retirement requires a solid game plan. Strategic Wealth Designers, an official partner of USF Athletics, is here to assist. Our holistic approach to retirement planning looks at your financial landscape so that we can create customized strategies that align with your long-term goals. Start planning your retirement today. Visit swdgroup.com or give us a call at 1-877-SWD-GROUP. Strategic Wealth Investment Group is an independent financial services firm and uses a variety of different investment strategies. USF Athletics is a paid sponsorship program. We are neither a current client nor an affiliated entity of, nor does it endorse SWD.
Welcome back to Heard Here First. Jim Lighthold, Derek Sharp with you, getting you ready for South Florida and Bethune-Cookman. Season opener, season 28 for the South Florida Bulls. First ever meeting between these two schools. And Derek Sharp joins me again as we break down the Wildcats of Bethune-Cookman. This bunch, Derek, they got a head coach by the name of Raymond Woody. You and I know him very well.
Yeah, had a pretty good defensive unit that he oversaw at USF, even more close to the coaches that are going to be on his other side this week. He worked at FAU before he got the head job at Bethune-Cookman, where he is a graduate. So he'll certainly have not only a load of fans that I'm sure are going to make the trip, but family members as well, including number one for Bethune-Cookman, Raymond Woody III.
They struggled a little bit last year in his first year, 3-8, 2-6 in the SWAC, five offensive starters back, five defensive starters. This is a team that was not picked very high in the preseason in the SWAC, fifth out of six in the East. They have an East and a West there, but they get a shot or two every year against an FBS opponent. They've got two this year. They've got South Florida, and they get Western Michigan after that. They don't fare very well, and honestly, the Bulls have had an opportunity to feast on FCS schools, really 1AA schools, when you go back into the annals and the records and stuff. You would expect the same thing to happen today, but for a lot of times for these teams like Bethune-Cookman, this is their biggest game on the schedule.
Absolutely. And the last time they actually knocked one off was 2014, so 10 years, 10-year anniversary. I'm sure they're thinking some symbiosis there with FIU. But you would think, you know, as good as they did in the MEAC, they were champions 3 years in a row of that thing, 2013 and that 14 season and the following year, that if you consider the two conferences against one another, they've been pretty equal to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they've gone 2-6 all 3 years. Again, they did not play in the 20 season, and they've gone a total of 6-18 in their three full seasons in the new conference. Rightfully, as you mentioned, picked towards the bottom. However, looking at this roster, they picked fifth in their division. They have, as everybody does, transfers.
Yeah.
But they've got 20 Division I transfers. It's usually the other way around. You'll have standouts at a lower-level school transfer up. So the fact that they picked up that many players from the bigger colleges, a lot from out west, a handful from the, not Pac-12 anymore, but that former conference,
mm-hmm.
and several actually from the American couple from FAU, one from UCF, one from Charlotte. So he's stocked his roster, and you mentioned they weren't very good last year. It wasn't their defense's fault. Defense is one of the best at that level.
Well, and one of the big rubs for them, I think, too, Derek, is that Florida A&M has gotten really good. That's their arch rival. And to watch them start to take off there in Tallahassee and Bethune-Cookman struggling, Raymond Woody is not going to stand for that. He's too good of a coach. He's had too much success in other places for that to continue. So they're going to turn this thing around at some point. Let's just hope it happens, you know, some point later on in the 2024 season. They only have, like you mentioned, a couple wins all time against FBS opponents. But it's been a few years since they've even had a winning season, 2019 in that regard. So hopefully the Bulls can keep them down. To your point on the transfers, a lot of those guys that transfer from the power schools, Power 4, Power 5, whatever it is or was or will be, those guys are looking for playing time. And more than likely, they're going to find it at Bethune-Cookman, and they're going to find it on Saturday against South Florida.
And they're on both sides of the ball. You mentioned returning starters. Well, it's one of those, what do you really want in this situation? They lost their top running back and their top three receivers. However, their offense, Less than 260 yards a game.
It's tough to win doing that.
That's why they were below 500 and only had three Ws.
All right, don't forget to tune in 6:05 on Saturday night. We'll get you ready for the Bulls and the Wildcats live at Raymond James Stadium. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock, again from RJS. Derek, with your Bulls Bites, explain to everybody what this is. It's kind of a variation of what we've had in years past in the pregame show.
Yeah, I think I used the herd pun with that. I don't remember what it was called. It was hilarious, whatever the name was. But just to make sure that we don't copy the herd pun too much, it's the best Bulls sound bites from the week. And again, you're going to hear players, some of the stuff that you don't get on the press conferences, some of the stuff that you get on our coaches show, Bullseye. But this week, we're going to focus a lot on sort of the buildup. Actually, it was called Herd That, now that I think about it. And now that we are doing this show and getting it to you as quickly as possible on a late Thursday afternoon, we are going to ask your patience for this segment because we want to get it right. We want to make sure that we don't leave out any of the great sound from the last really month plus from camp and from this last week. So give me another couple hours to put that together, and then we'll have it for you if you check back at this part of the file on Friday. Trust me, it will be worth the wait. Trust me, we won't make you wait for Todd Orlando. He is the second year now defensive coach from the Bulls, and we'll get that to you next on Herd Here First. We'll follow that up by going around the horns. We'll also have Joey Knight with Derek Bowman, and then we'll wrap it up this first version of the new way to listen to the radio pregame show right here.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, welcome back to Herd Here First. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp with you, getting you ready for Saturday's game between South Florida and Bethune-Cookman. Bulls fans, season tickets remain on sale for a limited time. Call 1-800-GO-BULLS or visit Ticketmaster.com to secure your seats for the upcoming games against Miami, UAB, and Navy, amongst others. Call 1-800-GO-BULLS for ticket information. All right, Derek, we talked about the offense a little bit earlier in Herd Here First, but everybody wants to know if this is going to be an improved defense. And Todd Orlando, it's his chore, it's his job to make sure that the defense is better. You know, they gave up 31 points or more five times last season. Guess how many of those games they won? None. They were 0-5 when they did that. So that has to improve for sure.
You know, part of the coaches show, we played a couple clips in our last segment that I thought was really interesting. And believe me, this is great to hear the players say that, you know, 6-6 regular season isn't what they're going for. And they all remember what went wrong in the games that they lost. And we kind of wiped them out of our memory, but UAB, UTSA, FAU, but a lot of reinforcements. And that's what T.O. talks to me about in just a little bit. And you're going to hear about two newcomers to their secondary who are high school teammates who are going to be a big part of this team, as well as another transfer from FAU, D-Hawk, Dakarius Hawthorne. So some nice pickups.
Well, that secondary always looks better when you're getting pressure up front. And for Kevin Patrick, one of the original coaches in this program who's back now, I thought he said something this week that was very interesting. He calls his most productive players up front war daddies. And that's a term you're going to hear throughout the course of this year. And Dakarius Hawthorne is a guy that you're talking about, a transfer from FAU, played for Todd Orlando there, played for Kevin Patrick there. So he knows exactly about the system and how to get to the quarterback. He put up some good numbers in his three-plus years there.
I love Kevin Patrick, and I think everybody knows what his mindset is. And this is only a mild curse, by the way. We don't really curse on this show. But anytime he talks to us media, you know at some point when he's talking about a tough SOB instead of SOB, it'll be the S-U-M, you know, some bitch. But that's kind of his mentality. And it's great that those guys came over. It's so cool that all the coordinators, you know, are back, even special teams as well. And you just love what the defensive side looks like. And in this conversation, I think you're going to know that my man T.O. is ready.
You know, I think that's really underrated too, Derek, what you just talked about. Everyone wants to talk about the players, but when the staff has continuity and the system stays the same, things tend to go well. And I think when you look back at that 4 or 5 year window where the Bulls were really struggling, they had so much movement. I mean, there were head coaching changes, but there was also coordinator and position coach changes underneath all that. When you're constantly trying to learn a new system, that hinders the development. And one more thing about Dakarius Hawthorne, this guy wears number 90. Jason Pierre-Paul wore number 90 as well, a guy transferred to South Florida. So we'll hear him, amongst other things. Derek sits down with defensive coordinator Todd Orlando right now.
T.O., as they call him, Todd Orlando here on Herd Here First. And, Coach, we'll have one, like I did with Joel, one off-season question. How was your off-season? Did you get to enjoy some non-football stuff?
Yeah, it was good. Myself and my wife go out and visit family, so I actually got a chance to see my father up in Pittsburgh, which is always fun, and taking my daughter up there. See your grandpa. So just hang out at the house, get caught up on family time. So anytime you can just decompress and get away with it, but more or less catch up with your family is a good deal.
I did the same thing, and it took about, let's say, a month before I was ready to work. How about you? When were you ready to get back?
Oh, no, I was ready. I think my wife was ready for me to go to work. So I think that's how it kind of works. When you do this a long time, and I've been with her for quite a while, I think I try to change things, her routine. I try to do this. And by the time it's all said and done, when she's ready to really explode on me, I go back to work. So it's really good timing every time.
You got it worked out. Listen, you had it worked out last year, especially a shutout where you left off. Now that your system's in place, coach is always talking about, Coach Golish, obviously, about the process and reinvestigating the process and anything that he would change. What did you examine?
Well, I think the biggest thing from last year to this year was I think our recruiting department did just a tremendous job of getting some very talented guys in here, whether it was high school kids or portal needs. I think we addressed a lot of the things that I think, you know, we thought were a little bit of a concern last year. So it's very, very healthy competition right now. So when you're a coach and maybe you don't have a lot of depth, it's sometimes if a guy's not self-motivated, it's really hard to get him to do the things at an elite level. But when he knows somebody can take his job, it's funny how that helps the cause. So I think that competition part, to go in with another year under Gio too, I think that to me is one of the big things that I saw. Last year there was times where, you know, we got fatigued early, you don't have depth, and I see a stronger team this year, you know, a team that has more depth but a stronger team. So when you get into week 3 of camp, you know, when we first got here, there was a lot of guys fading out. Week 3 of camp was completely different this year because guys are much stronger. And I think those little things, which is just takes time when you go into a program, of just the routine of going through things day in and day out and staying consistent, guys make gains. And that's what we're seeing right now.
I'm sure it's across the board, but off the top of your head, is there a guy that drastically got in just incredibly different shape? Not to the fact that they're a different person, but a lot different.
Yeah, Mac Harris. Like, Mac Harris has completely changed his body. I won't go into his numbers because I don't want to embarrass him with him, but, like, literally took off, like, a massive amount of body fat, added it with true muscle, is leaner. He looks great. He's running as fast as he's ever has. So he was a guy that come to the top of my head.
We had him on the coach's show, and he said it was a lot to do with just the diet and crediting the coaching staff with a lot of folks doing. You mentioned some areas. Secondary, you beefed up with a couple of high school teammates. Tell people about Rux and Banks, right?
Yeah. They've done an outstanding job. Consistent, competitive, love football. Just bring a smile to you, too. You know, they're enjoyable to be around. Just everything about a great human being, but, like, super talented guys. Competitive when that ball goes up, and they just don't like to get beat. And they'll go through practice, and that's just their mindset. And two really special players that we're very fortunate to have.
Speaking of two players, we had a chance, and I don't have a lot of notes here, but I'll tell you that on my little list here, it says Abbott and Costello. So who would you think are the – you can be wrong, it'd be more than two guys, but two defensive linemen specifically who just seem like they get along really well, and also one of them is a newcomer who might actually help the team in some regard.
Two guys that get along very well.
Funny dudes.
Hawk and Beasy. Like, those two guys, they get along well, and they're both extremely funny. Like, Beasy's like Gooden. That's him. He's, like, so funny. I mean, it's ridiculous.
As far as Hawk, yeah, obviously you're familiar with him. Fans might not be so much. Tell people, you know, aside from comedy, what he can bring.
We had a relationship. You know, he got here. He's explosive. He can play multiple positions. Extremely excited. I think the fans will be really excited to watch him. He's got a great first step. He's physical. He's in, like, we're going to move him around a little bit too. So we're very fortunate to have him too.
And then last thing, just generally, I mean, going into this game on Saturday, you got to feel good about your depth. Where does that sit as far as your comfortability level of bringing guys in and rotating?
Yeah, well, we do. I mean, we're going to sit down as a staff, you know, after you get done with today's practice, you sit down and say, listen, like, this is the percentage these guys have earned to play. Mm. But just off the top of my head, based on the last couple days, it's been like, hey, you know what? We're going to have a rotation. Up front, always have a rotation. But even when you look at linebacker, the back end, I think if we can, our guys would just, like, cut it loose and play as hard as you can for as long as you can, knowing that the second group is ready, they're sitting on the sidelines, that helps a ton. Because what ends up happening is, like, when you don't feel like, I think there's human nature sets in to make sure that they can try to get through the game, and they don't have to do that this year. We're deep in a lot of spots.
Sounds awesome to me. Thanks, Tia. Best of luck.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
And incidentally, it was Michael Williams along with Dakarius Hawthorne, although Beasy is Bernard Gooden, who also can hold his own apparently on the comedy front when it comes to the defensive line. And again, if you're listening to this on Thursday or early in the day Friday, we'll ask that you check back. We'll update it. Right after Jim and I speak about Bethune-Cookman, about a half hour into the program, we'll give you the best Bulls bites from the week. And that will definitely include who I dubbed Abbott and Costello. And even though they won't know the reference, maybe you do, maybe you don't. It'll be hilarious. And it'll also give you an example of some of the exclusive audio you can get on my program, Bulls Beat, which airs Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We repeat the show every half hour from 8 to 10 on Bulls Unlimited on the TuneIn app. And if you miss any of the show, you can actually go back to our podcast page, which is where you're probably listening to this right now, and get those interviews. So if you want to go scroll back a few weeks to Michael Williams and Hawk, Dakarius Hawthorne, feel free to do that. We also talk to a ton of football players and members of all the fall sports in and around their photo shoots. So a load of interviews and more recently highlights and post-match interviews from soccer and even some volleyball. So we'll get more into what else is going on around USF here in a second.
All right, good stuff there from Todd Orlando, the defensive coordinator for South Florida, as they get ready to take on Bethune-Cookman. Jim Lighthall, Derek Sharp back with you. Going to transition now, Derek. We're going to take a look as to what's going on around campus as you go around the horns. That's a traditional segment for us here on the pregame show. And also we'll take a look at what's going on in the American. This league now is 14 teams. Welcome aboard, Army. You got Army and Navy in the same league. And we're recording this for air on Thursday. So some of those Thursday night games and maybe even some Friday games, if you're listening before Saturday's kickoff between the Bulls and Bethune-Cookman, will have already been played. So bear with us in that regard.
Right. So if you're tuned in on a Saturday morning, there'll be six games already in the books. But it's really a fantastic slate. Some interesting road trips. Temple at Oklahoma. Good luck, Owls.
Yeah.
Good luck, Owls of FAU at Michigan State. And then, of course, the teams picked near the top of the league, right up there with the Bulls, by the way. I thought the Bulls were right in about the right spot. Mm-hmm. Memphis, UTSA, everybody that was ahead of them, you know, beat them last year, so it's kind of hard to argue with any of that. Memphis is hosting North Alabama. They should roll their UTSA taking on Kennesaw State. Usually at this time of year, you're going to get some of these FCS matchups, and there's plenty of those around the conference, East Carolina hosting Norfolk State, for example, Navy taking on Bucknell. But it's going to be an interesting league. I think it's pretty wide open, if you ask me. And I actually had a media vote. I'm not going to reveal my slate, but I did have the Bulls pretty high up there.
Well, as they should be. One quick note, too. Charlotte against James Madison, I think, is going to be an interesting game. James Madison, really good last year, 11-2. No Jordan McLeod. He's left there. The former Bull now plays at Texas State, which I thought was a bit of a weird transfer. Thought he could have done better than that, but that's where he ended up at. And also, out of 14 teams, you would think in today's day and age of college football, there's constant movement at the head coaching positions as well as the players now. Only one head coach moved in the league. Willie Fritz left Tulane, and John Sumrall takes over from Troy, who was really good there. So Tulane was one of those teams that were picked, you know, near the top, Derek, and I don't know if there's going to be a lot of drop-off.
You know, it's one of the things that I know a lot of Bulls fans that are close to it are fully aware of. They could have done the Bulls favors on their schedule than how it breaks down, because we all know about Alabama and Miami, and the trip to Southern Miss is not going to be easy. But to have to start off with the only two teams that you play that are in front of you, namely Memphis and Tulane. I mean, we're going to know.
Yeah.
We're going to know real quick. And I'm not just talking about the overall record. I'm talking about the chance of winning the conference championship, because you've got to win one of those two games. And if you win both of them, you're golden.
Those first six games right out of the gate is going to decide your whole season, in my opinion, because after that, the Bulls, I think, have better talent than every team on their schedule. So it'll be interesting once we get past that halfway mark. One other quick note on Army, Derek, to me, top five most disappointing loss in the previous 27 years of USF football came in 2004 against Army when the Bulls were up 28-7. And I'll never forget the name, Carlton Jones, 225 yards rushing, five touchdowns. Army comes back to beat USF at Raymond James Stadium in the rain. I think I just finished crying last night about that game, and I know there's Bull fans that are reliving that nightmare as well. But the Bulls owe them. They're 1-1 all time. Don't play them this year, but we'll find out in the future what happens there.
Well, they announced the schedule, the opponents for next year, and the Army's not on it again. So clearly the league is planning on there being a USF Army Conference Championship game, and I think we're going to get that. Hey, speaking of conference, the preseason volleyball votes were released this week, and our own USF Bulls were picked to finish third, similar to the football team. Picked towards the bottom last year, had a great season. The Bulls made the NIVC, were third in the conference, and that's where they're picked to finish. They will get their season going on Friday in Tallahassee against Florida State. And it's not just playing the Seminoles. They are playing Georgia on Saturday. They are playing Cal Santa Barbara, a 30-win team from last year, on Sunday. Their schedule's just incredible, and we'll get even more into it on Friday morning's Bulls Beat. Again, a cheap plug for that show that I stream on Bulls Unlimited. It repeats every half hour, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning between 8 and 10. And if you don't know about Bulls Unlimited by now, I'm going to be lenient and tell you you should. We just started year number 8 on the TuneIn app is where you can find us. Just download the TuneIn app and type Bulls Unlimited or South Florida Bulls Radio Network. We celebrated our 7th anniversary on Thursday and celebrated it with, for example, not just the first episode of Bullseye with Alex Golish, where it's myself, Kayla Cottrell, and Joey Johnston. And Mac Harris was great on that show as our player guest. But we also had, because it was our birthday, the first game that we aired on the channel, the first game in Bulls history against Kentucky Wesleyan. We can go pretty far back, and we do all the play-by-play of every sport that you can possibly have play-by-play on when it comes to USF, not just football. On Bulls Unlimited, Friday morning, a chance to listen to my conversation with Naquan Wright, which was tremendous, and we'll also have a full recap of Thursday night's soccer. We will be live on the microphone, yours truly, at Corbett Stadium Thursday night for the men's team against Eckerd, while the women, who have won their last three games, outscoring their opponents by a total of 14-0, but their first road test at Kansas. So again, we go around the horns this time on this show to give you a good idea of what's happening around the non-football side of things, of which we're really busy. Cross country actually has its first race on Friday, but on Bulls Beat, you can really go in depth with every single sport a full half hour three times a week. We are near the end of this first Heard Here First hour, reminding you that we go live on Bulls Unlimited at 6 o'clock Saturday for the Bulls and Bethune-Cookman. If you want even more on the matchup, Jim and I really get that going at around 6:05. Of course, Jim Lauk and Sam Barrington are your play-by-play crew. They get things started. We'll have Joey Johnston down on the field. Michael Kelly joins him from down there. It's a jam-packed hour that ends with Alex Golish. But this hour will end soon. And between now and then, as we'll hear at this time of the program every week, Joey Johnston joined by a member of the squad.
And we are back here and Heard Here First, and our guest today is USF offensive lineman Derek Bowman. Derek, welcome, first of all. And let me ask you first, as you get ready for another season with your offensive line, so a lot of the same guys working together again for the second straight year, how would you speak about what it's like to be part of this brotherhood, this camaraderie that you guys have? And I know it's important for you guys to work together at all times, but how would you describe what it's like to be part of this group?
Yeah, I think our offensive line this year is a great group, talent-wise, but also just the men that are in it. And I like that you said the word brotherhood, because that's really what it feels like. And just whether it's the difficult things we go through or just hanging out in the locker room, like, this group, like, is very close and meshes together well. And I don't know. I just feel like I can trust all those guys with whatever I need. I don't need to second-guess anything. And yeah, we have a good group.
You talked about all the things that you're asked to do, and sometimes there are things that other people wouldn't want to do.
I don't know if anybody wants to be an offensive lineman to start with. They want to catch the ball and throw the ball and all that. So when you're out there grinding and it's not a great day, how do you get through it as an offensive lineman? What kind of mental tricks do you need to do to pull yourself through the toughest days?
Yeah, I really think just kind of shutting your mind off and focusing on, like, can't think about it, if it's hot, if it's hard, if you're tired. Your responsibility is to be the best version of yourself for the rest of the offense. And so I have 10 other guys counting on me. And so I need to perform at my highest level. And the other O-linemen think the same way. And so maybe we aren't having a great day. Hopefully the offensive line can be consistent and pick up the other groups, where when the other groups are being great and maybe we need some help, they're there. But I think the offensive line is very consistent in that we try and be exactly what the team needs at all times.
So a few years ago, USF had a really good season that ended in a bowl game, and the interesting thing was they had the same offensive line combination in every single game that year. And I know that's what you guys strive to do, to have that kind of continuity. Can you explain why that's important, to have that kind of sameness and togetherness and continuity from week to week, and what that can add to you guys being good?
Yeah, I think it's like breaking in a new pair of cleats. You know what I mean? The first time you put them on, they're a little stiff, they're a little uncomfy, but the more you use them, the more it molds your foot, the more comfortable it is. And then you put it in, you don't even notice really that you're wearing the cleat. And I think it's the same thing with the offensive line. When you get a bunch of snaps next to someone, when you're playing in games next to someone, you start to pick up on things that they specifically do, and you get used to that, and you gel together, and you mesh together, and you work together through that. And so that just builds elite offensive linemen.
So your coaches, Coach Gordon, the offensive coordinator, and Coach Golish as well, they say, you know, running the ball is what they want to do. That's job one. And you want to get the 3 and 4 yards when you do it, and you want to be able to do it consistently. They want to be able to, you know, move people back, and that means you guys are really important to that kind of thing. What do you think about that philosophy, and how fun is it when you are out there pushing people around? You're kind of doing what you want to do and moving down the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's music to my ears hearing my coaches say that, because as an offensive line guy, you know, I love the big explosive plays, the big passes, but at my core, I love to run the ball north and south and just start. That really opens up the rest of the game, too. So I love hearing that, and I love running it.
You have a special player, obviously, at quarterback in Byron Brown that you played with last year, and he's poised for another big year this year. What is it like to have Byron as your guy, as your leader? I know you've seen a lot of things with him on the field and been in the huddle with him and seen how tough he is and how talented he is. What is it like to be, playing for Byron Brown?
Yeah, it's one, just the man that he is makes me, my job is to protect him, and who he is especially makes me want to do my job even more. Just how I feel about him as a person, my job is to keep him safe, so that's what I want to do. But at the same time, seeing how tough he is, and seeing how special he is, the plays that he can make, knowing that if I do my job and if I give him the proper amount of time, that, I mean, he's able to do whatever. And so, yeah, that's basically it.
So as we prepare for Saturday's opener against Bethune-Cookman, there's a lot of excitement in the community. A lot of people are very optimistic about what the Bulls can do this year. A lot of great expectations. What do you think about that as you get ready to start this season? What people think you can do, what you think you can do, and what's the level of excitement, anticipation, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, as the season gets ready to start?
Yeah, I think it's awesome that people have high expectations for us, and it wasn't like that a year ago. And so Coach Golish always says it, whether they have high expectations for us or they have low expectations for us, that doesn't matter, because what happens in this facility and with our team is our business. And so I really think just we're going to put our head down and work. And we have all the talent. We know that. But that doesn't matter if you don't show up and play on Saturday. So you control what we can control. Don't buy into any of the hype and ride on the coattails of whatever. And just kind of attack one week at a time.
One more thing for you, Derek. You played at Houston before transferring to USF. You're from Texas. Now you're in Florida. What's it like for a Texan to be in Florida? Is there a bit of a culture shock? Do you like things different than the Florida guys on this team? Or how do people know you're from Texas when you walk in the room? What's it like?
It's honestly not too different. There's obviously great beaches here and a lot of things to do that's just completely foreign to me. I don't know. Weather-wise, I'm a Houston kid, so weather is honestly very similar. So everyone always asks me, like, man, how are you doing with the hot weather? Is it not like home? And I'm like, it's exactly like home. This is what I'm used to. But culturally, you know, I miss Whataburger, different restaurants like that. But no, it's Florida. If I didn't love Texas so much, Florida is where I'd be. I've had a great experience here.
All right, we're in Florida now. We're glad you're here. Starting offensive lineman Derek Bowman. Good, best of luck the rest of the season, and thank you for being on here first.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, that's Joey Johnston with the pride of Magnolia, Texas, Derek Bowman, the transfer from Houston. Good stuff right there. Always love hearing from those guys up front, Derek. We'll hear from players all season long. Joey doing a really nice job kind of getting to know these kids.
It's fantastic. And the access, I want to say again, not only that Joey has, but the sports information folks, Brian and Micah and all that crew, have provided us just for this first week alone. It's fantastic. Again, I actually talked to Derek on the side. I got the chance to talk to Naquan Wright for Bulls Beat on Friday. So that is heard here first. And if you are listening to us on the podcast page or on GoUSFBulls.com, we are so glad you found us. We will drop this show, as the kids say, sometime early in the evening on Thursday. You can listen to it whenever you want. But that doesn't end the pregame show. We are going to go live at 6 o'clock if you want to hear even more on the matchup with Bethune-Cookman and the Bulls. We'll have everything, injury updates, who's in, who's out. You and I will do our really dig deep into all of it. Of course, Alex Golish joins Jim Lauk. They actually record that last thing on a Friday, so you're going to get all of that. And the main question that I'm sure a lot of people have, I'll give you the answer right now. Of course we're still doing Get Crazy.
Yes.
I know everybody was nervous. That usually ended hour number one, but we're going to tuck that in. If Sam Barrington makes it in time for 30 minutes until kickoff, we'll get his crazy predictions. We'll get Joey's crazy predictions, you and I. So the quote-unquote full pregame is different, but it's on demand. And then an hour before kickoff, meaning 6 o'clock, we'll have all the other fun stuff for you on Saturday.
Spoiler, three-way tie atop the Get Crazy leaderboard last year. So we'll wipe it clean. We'll get going. Maybe Sam can actually get one right. Derek, thank you. That's heard here first. First edition in the books. Bethune-Cookman and South Florida coming up from Raymond James Stadium on Bulls Unlimited.